B-Pod Studios.
Let's talk about last night's game with the man who was there, covered the game for ESPN.com, and he joins us every day with an Eagle Training Camp report brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp online at trainingcamp.com. Well, Timmy, we're not talking about anything that happened in the game. We've got a couple minor things, but the major circumstance, obviously, is the backup quarterback, and the coach said today they're not going to do anything. You don't believe that, do you?
I do believe
you
that.
You do?
Actually. I do. And you get used to kind of coach speak as you go along, and you get used to a coach over the course of a few years. And I think if Peterson, from a coach speak perspective, let's just go with that first.
Uh-huh.
If he was really thinking about going out and getting somebody, he would turn the line of, we're always looking to add talent. We'll be keeping an eye out. But instead, he was kind of firm in the idea of, for now, we're rolling with who we have.
Yeah,
I think it makes sense from a certain perspective of it doesn't look like it's going to be a long-term thing for Sudfeld. Adam Schefter reports 6 weeks is the expected time.
Mm-hmm.
That brings you to like late September. And so do you really need to kind of introduce a new quarterback, learn the system, to supplant Kessler as the number two and go through that whole rigmarole when you have Sudfeld back, pretty early in the season. So I do kind of buy what they're selling there.
Okay, so the premise is that Wentz will at least be healthy through three games. And if he's not, the guy will only have to play one game. Kessler will only have to play one game if Sudfeld's back.
Yeah, I mean, you're working without a safety net to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no question about that. If Wentz goes down, Kessler, he has some experience in this league. He started 12 games, but I mean, you can see when you're watching him that he's limited to a certain degree. And there's just a drop off from Sudfeld and clearly a drop off from Wentz. But it seems like they're not going to make any big moves now because there wasn't big injury news on the Sudfeld front.
Okay, that's fair enough. Now let's look at where this leaves Carson Wentz for the rest of the preseason, because now you can be gun shy and justify that you don't play him at all. What do you think they'll do?
I thought it was the first thing is that obviously getting to the starting line with Wentz is the main objective. I also thought that it was interesting that Peterson was talking and multiple times brought up the great work that they're getting in practice, and that they would continue to go down that road, and they have to evaluate whether they're going to get guys like Wentz, whether he needs game action in the preseason. If you read the tea leaves and you use logic, it doesn't sound like they're going to expose Wentz much. And I don't know that it was ever the plan to expose him a lot. And I think that this just kind of reinforces the fact that anybody at any position can get hurt at any time. And the last thing you want is to be staring at week one against Washington and Wentz isn't there because he was overexposed in the preseason. So I just don't think that they're going to have him out there much.
All right, but you're suggesting they will have him out there. Yeah, I'm thinking that they wouldn't play him at all, but you're thinking that they may play him a little bit?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, my guess is that they'll play him a little bit. I mean, I don't know that you can go the whole preseason not playing your first team at all. And I would imagine that it would, Wentz would be kind of joined to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that they'll have him out there a little bit, but I just don't think it's going to be a whole lot. So whether that just means, a taste in week two or three, however they decide to do it, I don't think they're good. I do think he'll be out there, but not much.
Oh my goodness. You do realize what stress this fan base will go through every play that he plays in preseason when he's out there?
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's like a stress stress air tank people are going to be in.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's shared internally, right? Because they have something on the line there as well, and they know what the deal is. And when you're weighing risk-reward, it's like, how much better is he going to get?
Mm-hmm.
How much does he actually need? And I'm sure those are all the conversations that they're having right now, whether they have kind of a firm game plan in place yet. We'll see. But those are the kind of conversations that are going on behind closed doors.
All right, Timmy, what did you see good and bad last night? I mean, on that game that was hard to evaluate, and we were looking at certain things like Dillard and Sweat and the cornerbacks. What did you see last night?
Yeah, so Dillard, and we just got done talking with the assistant coaches, and what kind of we've been seeing in training camp and what everybody got to see a little bit last night with Dillard was echoed by Jeff Statland, who was really high on him. And believe that he is doing excellent, both in the pass game and the run game, which was a question for him coming out of college. So I think that Dillard acquitted himself really well, and if he adds upper body strength, and there's no reason why he wouldn't, as he develops here, I think that he's going to end up being a really good player for them. So my lot on the other side, I thought that there were some good moments for him, and then there was still a couple moments of struggle for him. So that continues to be a work in progress on that side. As far as Josh Sweat is concerned, I think that he did fine. But what really stuck out to me was, like, I kept, you know, I had the binoculars up in the press box, and I haven't focused on the defensive line to watch Sweat, but I kept going to Deshaun Hall, who was rushing opposite of him, because he just kept getting this penetration into the backfield and was disruptive, like, constantly. He had three tackles for a loss. He had two quarterback hits. He had a sack. He almost had another strip sack. So that was somebody that, you know, I really got my eyes on and trained him on for the first time, and was really impressed by what I saw there. So it was kind of disjointed performance overall, but there's also guys that were playing out of position. So as is oftentimes with the preseason, you can't make any kind of big rash judgments about, you know, what the final score was, mm-hmm. or what the overall production of the offensive line looked like. I don't think that's necessarily fair.
All right. How about the secondary? We didn't get a chance to see much of Sidney Jones last night, but you know, the backups really didn't equip themselves very well, and same at linebacker.
Yeah, but I would say that Avante Maddox, in that limited time that he did get on the field, you know, he was operating out of the slot, and you had Sidney Jones on the outside, and Maddox had one play where he tracked down his receiver and makes a play along the sidelines, and he shows, you know, that awareness, you know, that intelligence and the athleticism that really served him well his rookie year. And you just have to find a role for him. And I think that at least the slot is where he should be, if not starting on the outside and then moving in to the nickel when they get into their sub packages. And yeah, Jones didn't get tested much, didn't do a whole lot either way, but held up firm. But Maddox, to me, was really the one that caught my eye.
Okay. Linebacker, L.J. Fort seemed to struggle a little bit. Gary seemed to struggle a little bit. Are they worried about their depth there?
I've talked to Ken Flagel just now, the linebacker's coach, and he, you know, wasn't going that far on Nate Gary as an example of, you know, saying that he was down on him or anything like that, and that he knew what he did wrong on the touchdown pass that he gave up and just ended up getting a little bit behind the receiver. But I think that that's a big question mark heading into this year. And that was, before Grugier Hill got hurt. And I think it's only gotten exasperated since Grugier Hill did get injured, where you're working with guys, and you're working with the amount of depth that isn't totally ideal. Now, you know, linebacker, they're in their sub packages like 70%+ of the time. You only really need two guys. But, you know, another factor that we don't talk about probably enough is that Nigel Bradham hasn't been on the field yet, and he's still working back from a toe injury. And I don't know that there's any way that he's going to just, like, hop on and be himself, like, instantly. So linebacker's going to be a question moving forward, and I don't think anything last night did anything to kind of move it in a different direction.
We're talking to Tim McManus, analyzing last night's game and where it stacks up here. The wide receiver situation at AQ5 looks like it's pretty set, and Mac Hollins would be the fifth. But Mark and Michelle makes the big play last night, and now everybody's got him on the radar. You haven't really talked about him in practice. What's up? Does he have some kind of an outside shot?
I would say that's a good way to phrase it. I think outside shot's probably the way to put it for Michelle. He had a really nice spring, and then he's been a lot quieter on the practice fields during the course of the summer. He had some CFL experience. He's the brother of Sony Michelle, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so he's had some good moments, and coaches seem to like him. But I also found it interesting in talking to Dave Phipp. You know, we just got done speaking with him, and he was talking up Charles Johnson from a special teams perspective. He apparently did very well last night. And that's another thing that we have to keep as part of the equation, is if these guys do make the team, what are their contributions on special teams, especially if, like, they're the fifth or sixth guy. So I think that's legit, Mike, like, one of the few battles that's still out there is who will make the bottom of the roster at wide receiver. I think Michelle, clearly, with a 75-yard touchdown, very nice catch and run, kind of boosts his stock, but he's going up against some other guys like Johnson, who apparently boosted their stock on special teams. So the next few games will help dictate that race.
All right, I got to ask you, this is the last question, because obviously it's the obvious topic. And when Stephen went down last night, people think, okay, they need another quarterback in here. And so the Colin Kaepernick name has come up. No chance, right?
I don't think so. One thing that was telling, because Press Taylor, the quarterback's coach, just got asked about that. Somebody rattled off three straight questions to him about Kaepernick, and the most revealing of his answers, he mostly just kind of, pushed away from those questions. But one thing that he did say is, I haven't watched his tape in a while. Leads me to believe that they're not exactly doing full homework, like let's check this out type thing right now. And they're just not in the position where they're going to be making a big bold move there.
But here's the thing: if the backup now Kessler has to play a lot of snaps, and he gets banged up, where would they go? Listen, there's McCown who's in retirement. They can make a trade. Right. I mean, Tannenbaum was saying on this morning that they could make a trade with New England to get Hoyer. This guy is still out there if this backup now gets hurt.
It'll most likely end up being a less notable name, is my guess. Okay. A guy like Josh Johnson or something.
That would rankle me. If they would decide Josh Johnson would be better, then Kaepernick would be ridiculous. But I suppose you're right.
I mean, yeah, you have to consider in all the different elements, system fit and those types of things. Yeah. Kaepernick hasn't played since 2016. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. There's all those different factors that you would have to weigh. But I don't get the impression that he's that he's on their radar right now.
I got you. All right, Timmy, always a pleasure. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
All right, you as well, Mike. Thanks.
All right, Tim McManus.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.